Dr. Amy Goodall, a professor in the geography program at JMU, joins us again to discuss how winter changes the local bird population in the valley. We're so happy to have you back with us.
Thank you, Sydney. It's nice to be here.
What birds call the Shenandoah Valley home in the wintertime?
Well, we have a lot of birds here in the winter, some of which are here year-round, like the blue jay and the northern cardinal, and some that are here in just the winter. And when I think of migrants coming into the Shenandoah Valley in the winter, I think of sparrows. And we have quite a number of them, but really two that are my favorite. And one is the white-throated sparrow, and another is the dark-eyed junco. And the reason why I choose them as representatives of the winter is one thing is they're ground foragers like sparrows are, so people can see them more closely. You can attract them to your backyard, and you can also see them in parks, so people have a good opportunity to see them. Another reason why I choose them is they actually come from a part of Canada where we have a lot of birds that go in the summertime, and those birds are on decline. So it's really important to make people aware of that and to get some interest in these birds.
I've heard that sparrows can be difficult to identify from one another. How can we tell these birds that you mentioned apart from the others?
That's a really good question because a lot of people think of sparrows as just small and brown and very difficult to identify. But as you get to know the species, it gets easier with practice. And each of the sparrows do have some distinctive colorations. And so you can tell them apart basically by color or maybe by size and sometimes by song. And with these two species, the white-throated sparrow is one of my favorite because of its white throat. There's two forms. There's one that's called a white crown and one that's a tan crown. The tan crown is not as brightly colored as the white crown, but they can be very brilliant with that white patch on the throat. They also have a yellow spot between the bill and the eye, which is very distinctive about it. And a beautiful song that sounds like Old Sam Peabody, Peabody, or if you're in Canada, they say, "Oh my Canada, Canada." And the dark-eyed junco has a dark back, so it's very different than the other sparrows in terms of its very dark grayish color. It has a dark eye, and it has a pink bill. So the bill is very different than the other sparrows. And when it takes flight, you can see the white outer tail feathers. They're like a brilliant flash of white.
So you mentioned that these birds are migrants. Where do they go when they're not in the valley?
That's also a very good question because a lot of people think of migrant birds as coming in the spring, like they're a sign of spring. And you start seeing more robins, people are excited that we're heading into the spring season. But these are birds that are coming here specifically just for the winter because they spend their summer much far north of here. So they actually are breeding in what's called the boreal forest of Canada. It's a needle-leaf evergreen forest that takes up much of Canada. And the reason why they like to be there is because of that really long daylight in the summer in Canada. So lots of food resources, lots of daylight, and then they come here for the winter because of that harsh winter in Canada.
How do their breeding grounds in Canada compare to the valley?
Well, the valley where they spend the winter does have some coniferous evergreen trees that are similar in appearance to the trees from the boreal forest in Canada. So you will more often see them under a coniferous tree than a deciduous tree. But they also like to forage in shrubby environments, in thickets, and especially along woodland edges.
So you mentioned that their numbers are declining earlier. What is threatening these species?
Just like many of the other birds and wildlife in general, is habitat loss and habitat fragmentation. And that's particularly a problem for species that migrate long distances. Other problems include so many lights on the landscape. And so many birds migrate by moonlight or by starlight. And and just like people, when we're outside and we want to look at stars, you can't see stars if you're near a lot of lights. So definitely those urban environments that have lots of lights are interfering with them. And then another thing that's a problem, especially with the lights, is it will confuse birds and they'll come down into regions where it's more dangerous to be, like an urban environment. And one of the situations there is that there are free-ranging cats. And we really have a lot of cats on the landscape in those environments.
Is there something that we can do here in the valley to assist with these threats?
We can. So just like we would with any bird, it's nice to have a diversity of environments in your yard if you have that capability. So a mix of deciduous trees and evergreen trees, having some shrubs for them to hide underneath and to eat, but also gardening, lots of wildflowers, and leaving those seeds on those plants for them to forage throughout the winter. Another thing that's really important is to keep your cats indoors.
Where can we go locally to see these birds in action?
Any place that there's some kind of shrubby thicket, especially along a forest edge, or what we call riparian areas, where there's vegetation along a stream with some really nice thick shrubs and some trees over it. Something like Ethache Carrier Arboretum is a really good place to see both of these species. Hillendale Park, Purcell Park, any place, again, that you have that cover for the birds.
Awesome. Thank you so much for educating us about some of our local wintertime fauna. I look forward to seeing these birds around the valley this season.
Thank you. It's always fun to talk about birds.